That was great.
Call the meeting of the Veterans Military and Finance Affairs and Policy Division to order. First off, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next up, approval of minutes. Representative Heinrich, I'm sure you've read the minutes. Can you make a motion to approve them, please?
Mr. Chair, I have thoroughly gone through the minutes in the last 10 seconds, and I move to approve the minutes.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. First up today, Representative Purcell, House File 3324. Purcell, do you want to move House File 3324 to refer to the Committee on Ways and Means?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please proceed. And Mr. Bell.
Thank you. And I do have a couple of testifiers, Mr. Chair. And that for those of you that have the bill in front of you, might be the shortest bill you're going to have this year, so enjoy. But it is to it's an appropriation of $75,000 fiscal 21 from the general fund to the Commissioner of Veteran Affairs for ongoing annual grant to Independent Lifestyles Inc. for expenses related to retreats for veterans at Camp Bliss in Walker, Minnesota. Therapy, transportation, activities customized for veterans. This is a good bill, and I'll let my testifiers speak if you approve, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Purcell. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Kara Ruff, and I'm the Executive Director for Independent Lifestyles and Camp Bliss, our retreat center. At Independent Lifestyles, the Center for Independent Living, we serve all people of all disabilities. And progressively over the past 15 years, we've served more and more veterans with disabilities. And the reason I'm here today is because veterans in Minnesota and across the nation are in crisis. And community-based, effective, and efficient approaches are what is needed. Veterans in Minnesota and throughout the U.S. are not getting the support, services, or resources they need to thrive during or after deployment. We keep pouring millions of dollars into reacting to veteran crisis, mostly in the form of high-cost medical care. I urge the Minnesota State Legislature to fund Camp Bliss so that we can continue to provide the wellness and therapeutic experiences that provide lasting change, save marriages, create wellness and resiliency, and provide for the social networks that veterans need to thrive and so that crisis can be avoided. What veterans have told me over the past few years is they need more community-based supports. They need opportunities to express their deepest grief where it will not be added to their service chart. They need confidential opportunities to be vulnerable, to heal, and to bond with other service members with shared experiences. They do not feel these needs are able to be met by the VA. They want community-based supports that are not linked to the VA. According to the Defense News Military.com, when soldiers return from home, they often think that the worst is behind them. They made it back alive, and now they're free from the fear of dying in combat. But many are unprepared for civilian life, yet they're expected to manage. The reality, however, is much more complicated and alarming. More U.S. veterans have committed suicide between 2008 and 2017 than the number of U.S. soldiers that died in the entire Vietnam War. The U.S. suffered around 58,000 fatalities over the course of the Vietnam War. We've now eclipsed it with 60,000 veteran suicides in a recent span of just 10 years. This statistic serves as a stark reminder that soldiers need so much more than just medical services to recover, reintegrate, and to thrive. According to the CBS Evening News, they underline just how complex of an epidemic this really is. Officials in charge explain that the department is simply incapable of addressing the issue and that it needs help from the private sector to properly tackle it. Dr. Richard Stone, the executive in charge of Veterans Health Administration, said we cannot do this alone and said we call on our community providers to join us in this effort. Camp Bliss is here to answer that call. We're ready for action. Without any veterans funding to date, we have been providing health and wellness retreats for veterans for the past 4 years. At Camp Bliss, the veterans are in charge. We create and facilitate customized retreats based on the feedback we receive and therefore provide a wide array of services to help veterans gain the level of support that they deserve. The array includes PTSD, Gold Star families, veterans and spouses, suicide prevention, caregivers, and much more. The wellness retreats for our female veterans have exploded as the female veteran population is significantly overlooked and unserved. With $75,000 in funding, we can serve between 100 and 125 veterans and their families with life-changing services and experience every year. I would challenge a government entity to do as much with so little. We conduct pre- and post-evaluations to monitor health and well-being and gather feedback at every opportunity. We are accountable and transparent. We created Camp Bliss with no direct funding for veteran services. We did it because not doing it would be an outrage. It was and is the right thing to do. It's time for Minnesota to invest in what truly works in our communities, what's cost effective, and what prevents exploding medical and mental health costs and allows veterans to live with dignity, respect, and support. We respectfully ask for your help in funding House File 3324. I'd like to go on to our testifiers.
Thank you, Ms. Ruff. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, good afternoon. My name is John Schneider. I would like to share with you my story. I was homeless. I was living in a hunting blind, eating squirrels in the wilderness. You see, I isolated myself from society because that was my instinct at the time. I served honorably in the Marines for 10 years. When I got out, I had a difficult time transitioning into a civilian life. I didn't have the skills to live independently due to my disabilities. It was difficult stepping out into society, struggling with PTSD. But every step taken at Camp Bliss was one step closer to recovery and ultimately success. The resources provided at Camp Bliss taught me I was not alone, and it was okay to ask for help. I found the camaraderie I shared with my fellow veterans. The atmosphere at Camp Bliss held no stress. They didn't pressure me to share my military experiences, the ones that I was hiding within me. Instead, together, we worked on our personal strengths, our skills, such as keeping our temper managed, how to effectively communicate with others, realizing we have more to offer than just our past military experience. They taught me I could live my life without labels. They weren't interested in Corporal Schneider, disabled Native American veteran struggling with PTSD. They were interested in how John can live a better life. Now, I'm in college pursuing a bachelor's degree in engineering. I currently hold a 4.0 GPA. I speak on the dangers of drugs and alcohol to minors in the community. I have the honor of leading my tribe's ceremonial traditions as the Eagle Staff Carrier. I've also been promoted to chaplain of the American Legion post-2018. I once again consider myself a productive member of society. There are very few community-based services for veterans that do offer these type of healing opportunities. I ask you, I urge you to fund this bill for Camp Bliss to ensure as many veterans as possible get these much-needed opportunities. I want to thank this committee and Camp Bliss for being here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schneider. Do you have one other testifier?
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Carla Tepainer. I am the adjutant for the 3rd District in the American Legion. Mostly on behalf of Kara, I think she kind of brought me out of my shell. My husband was one that made me go to Camp Bliss, kicking and fighting and screaming, because he knew that there were issues that I couldn't handle through the VA. Their solution was to medicate, medicate, medicate. And that didn't help. There was no therapy. There was nobody for a female veteran to talk to at that point in time. And when I didn't know what to expect when I got to Camp Bliss, but I met some of the most amazing female veterans I've ever met in my life. And we were all able to work together and work on our issues with Kara's help. And now we are the best friends ever, the 5 of us. They call us the Camp Bliss Beauties. So we have kind of a legacy up there. But they did everything, just like what John said. They brought us out of our shell. They let us talk in a safe environment. They let us do activities in a safe environment with other veterans. And that's not something that you can get anywhere in these areas. The VA is the only place you have the option of going for therapy. And being a female veteran, even that's an issue. You walk in the door and who knows what's going to get said to you or how you're going to be looked at. There's a lot of VA hospitals all over this country that are having that same issue. If you have the sexual trauma, when you were in the military, you'd think it was over when you got to the VA and they were supposed to help you, and it's not. They claim that they have sexual trauma therapy for you. It's not. The people that are in charge of it don't have a clue what they're talking about. They were never in the military, so how would they know? And I know Kara's never been in the military, but by God, she knows exactly what we needed. We shed a lot of tears. We did a lot of healing. And it wasn't with medication. It was just with love and support of each other and Kara. So please, find it in your hearts to pass this bill so we can get more veterans up there to get help. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tepainer. Is there anybody from the audience wish to testify on House File 3324? Okay, questions? Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Purcell for bringing this forward. And I think many of you know there's a camp in my district, the Disabled Vets Camp, a little bit different mission than what we're talking about here. And the mission that your camp has is a very important mission. I like to use the word mission because it's something that everybody in the military understands. But have Representative Purcell, have you checked in to see if legacy funds might be able to carry this forward for you in terms of, you know, the Disabled Vets Camp is a very historic camp because it dates back to World War I. It was an overflow for the VA hospital, and that's why they qualify for the legacy funds, and we've gotten funds over the years for them to make improvements in the camp. It's an RV camp and camping and so forth, and a lot of young veterans now use it. So would legacy funds apply to Camp Bliss?
Representative Purcell.
Mr. Chair and Representative Detmer, I don't know the answer to that question. We wrote the bill the way we did because we knew that these funds can be available. Let me say it that way.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Chair, you know, that's something you might want to also run it both ways, you know, for a general fund and also legacy funds, see if that would work out for this mission. So,
Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. are there other retreat centers or organizations that are operated by the nonprofit Independent Lifestyles?
No, Mr. Chair, members, no, there are not. We just have our organization, which is based in Sauk Rapids, and then the retreat center in Walker, Camp Bliss.
Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the past, has Independent Lifestyles received any state funds?
Ms. Ruff.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, we receive state funds as a Center for Independent Living for our core services, which we're also pursuing more funding for that as we're charged with serving about 13 counties. So we have a separate bill to serve the 8 centers for independent living in Minnesota, but we're the only one that has a retreat center campus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Heinrich.
I'm just wondering, what's the breakdown? I understand you have on staff there 45 people and staff members and 80 personal care attendants. Would that say the $75,000 that we're talking about, is that completely used inside of Camp Bliss, or how does that break down as far as the organization of independent lifestyles as well?
Ms. Ruff.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for that question. 100% of that would be allocated strictly for veterans retreats. It costs on average about $600 per veteran per retreat per experience, and so that's where I arrived at the 100 to 125 that we could serve annually with that. But that right now, we generate our own funds with entrepreneurial efforts and fundraisers and things like that to be able to do this, and we just really need help. We're struggling with it. And so 100% of that would be dedicated for veterans retreats.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you, Representative Purcell.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You might have mentioned this already. How many people do you serve, and how many are veterans, and how many are not veterans in a year?
Ms. Ruff.
In general, because we serve such a large population of people with disabilities and throughout 13 counties in Minnesota, we serve a little over 3,000 people every year. And at Camp Bliss, we've served about 300 veterans, and then probably another 800 just in follow-up independent living skills services and advocacy and support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick follow-up. Do you have dorm facilities there in the camp? Do they stay there on camp property?
Ms. Ruff.
Mr. Chair, Representative Detmer, yes, we have a lodge that is old and maybe qualified for a historical site. But we have enough for like 25 in there. We have a big house that we've redone, and we made all the accommodations accessible. So we have a house that sleeps about 20, and then we have three small cabins and a larger cabin. So we could probably do 50 at a time. But for reasons related to the work that we do there, the veterans have told us we don't want big groups. They're not comfortable in big groups, and they don't get the opportunity to bond and share and express themselves in large groups. So we intentionally keep them at, 10 to 15 at the very most.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Purcell renews his motion that House File 3324 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any final comments, Representative Purcell?
Thanks for the hearing, Mr. Chair and committee members, and appreciate your support.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Next up, House File 3204, Representative Fabian, high school diplomas awarded to veterans who serve in military conflicts. Welcome, Representative Fabian. The chair moves that House File 3204 be referred to the Committee on Education Policy. And there is an author's amendment. Representative Fabian, would you like me to move that amendment too?
I would, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right. The chair moves the A2 amendment. Representative Fabian, do you want to explain the amendment?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. We worked with the department to come up with some changes from the way we sent the bill out, the draft out, to try to see what kind of feedback we would get from Veterans Affairs. And the dates that are being changed or added to the bill on the A2 amendment reflect the recommendation of the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. Any discussion? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. To the bill, as amended, Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I do have a couple of testifiers, but just real quickly, there's no uniform practice or statutes in state for doing what we want to do here, which is to award diplomas for certain veterans from the World War II, Korean, and Vietnam eras. Right now, according to the data that we've got from Veterans Affairs, There's only about 7,000 veterans left from World War II in the state of Minnesota. So we want to try and do this. Just before Christmas, I was invited over to New Fulton to the Marshall County Central School to take part in and observe kind of a coffee that they had for the seniors in the community. And a part of that, they had a diploma presentation to a World War II veteran. And so what I'd like to do at this point, Mr. Chair, if it's okay with you, is introduce Jeffrey Lund, who is the superintendent at the Marshall County Central School in New Fulton, and kind of have him walk through why we're here today.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Lund. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Jeffrey Lund. I'm superintendent and elementary principal for Marshall County Central Schools in New Fulton, Minnesota. Thank you, committee, and thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to share our story. Last fall, it happened just after Veterans Day, so we were approached by Legion Post 527 in New Fulton. We've worked with them on our Veterans Day program, which is well attended. For a small town like us, we get about 500 people that come to that event. They asked me to meet with an older gentleman named Earl Hansen. At the time, he was 93 years old, and he shared me his story. He went to school in one of the small country schools until eighth grade, and then he stopped attending school because his brother was called to service to fight in World War II, and he had to work on the farm. And so when he turned 18, he ended up getting called into service to serve in World War II. And then upon his discharge from the service, he took some additional schooling through the military, was discharged, and never went back and got that GED and diploma, but it was something that he was important to him. I had to do some research because, you know, obviously schools don't just give away diplomas, and I met with I contacted via phone the School Board Association for some advice. They weren't aware of any specific policies on the books for Minnesota schools. They steered me towards New York Mills School District, which has an honorary diploma policy. It's a local policy that they crafted. And it's more for just like celebrities or persons that deserve an honor to get a degree from New York Mills. And then I did a lot of research online and found several states had policies. I worked with Tennessee's policy. It was the most specific and felt like it met our needs, and kind of combined the New York Mills policy with our policy. I ran it by the School Board Association. They didn't think there was any legal issue with us issuing a legal diploma in this manner. Then I contacted Earl Hansen and said, I need to get this policy approved by our school board, and as soon as that's done, I think we can move forward. And we had a senior citizen tea event coming up in December, and timing worked out perfectly to get the policy passed at our board and have the event for Earl. It was the only piece that I was concerned about was Earl was somewhat disappointed that it was an honorary diploma versus an actual diploma. And I carefully explained to Earl that currently in Minnesota, you have to meet the graduation requirements by the state of Minnesota in order to get a diploma. I understand that, but I also understand that the timing was different back then. And that's why, you know, I think I asked Dan and Senator Johnson from the Senate to consider some legislation to open a door here. These men and women that were called to service have worked extremely hard, and due to circumstance, for whatever reason, they had to leave school. And who am I to tell a 93-year-old man that's lived a full life that his diploma isn't a real diploma? And so I asked Dan to work with me. Dan attended that senior tea. He was very moved. For a 93-year-old man, he was turning 94 the next week, told all of us in the crowd that this was the best birthday present he had ever received. Think about that, 94 years old, and this was his best birthday present. And so the idea here isn't to give away any diplomas, but it under circumstances like this, it's an honor to provide one to a fellow person from our small rural area that served our country and worked very hard and had a good life and just wanted that diploma, that certification, that what he did in the service was equivalent basically to a graduation diploma. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. You have another testifier, Representative Fabian?
I do, Mr. Chair. This is Jerry Kaiser. He's with the United Veterans Legislative Council of Minnesota, and he's the chair of that organization.
Welcome back to the committee, Mr. Kaiser. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
My name is Jerry Kaiser. I'm the chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council, 31 different veteran organizations in the state of Minnesota, plus individual members. I am a Vietnam combat veteran, and more pertinent to this particular bill, I'm the president of Honor Flight Twin Cities. We have taken over 2,000 World War II and Korea veterans to Washington, D.C. to see their memorials dedicated to their sacrifices. They are, without a doubt, the most reluctant veterans as far as awards of anyone in this country. They are just happy to be alive. They have kept America free for us, and it's our job to thank them for what they did. Many of them did not go to high school. One of them in particular, John Heathcliff, was a paratrooper into Normandy. I looked on his DD-214, well, it's separations papers, and I said, John, you're 100 years old. Now he says, I lied. I'm only 98, and I went in when I was 16 because I wanted to jump. And I says, well, good for you. And he says, well, and this gentleman received the French Congressional Medal of Honor. He had 3 bronze stars for valor, and was just a sweet man. Many of them, I've never really asked them whether they had a high school degree, and it really would be an extra thing for the county veteran service officers out there who are the ones that are in contact with all these gentlemen and ladies from around the state. It gives them another tool to help them facilitate the awards and the things that we can give these veterans. I applaud them for doing this. I know personally a couple of them that would attain to this. I get their biographies of these men and women, and they're proud of what they've done. And this would be a great asset to them individually. It gives an opportunity, again, to these county veteran service officers throughout the state. Throughout the state of Minnesota, I think Duluth and southwest Minnesota and up by Fargo, North Dakota, we've taken probably 10 to 15,000 World War II and Korea veterans to Washington, D.C. And this would give some of those an opportunity to have this happen. The opportunity then for these veteran service officers to be throughout the state to have it instead of just in one particular spot. I congratulate them for doing that. As far as the older ones that are the Vietnam era, I think after 1980, you had to even get in the service, you had to have a GED, but I'm not exactly sure about that. When I was there, if you showed up and could fog a mirror, you were in, but you did have to have a high school diploma. That's my story, Representative Eklund, and I'll stick to it.
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser. Is there anybody from the audience that wants to testify in House File 3204? Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I can relate to this piece of legislation too, Representative Fabian. My father's 96, eighth grade education. Of course, he always told me that an eighth grade education back then was really, really worth a lot. And he said he also went to the School of Common Sense. And again, if this becomes a law, I'm definitely going to request a high school diploma for my dad. So thanks for bringing it forward.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if I have my way, Representative Detmer, your father can have the second one, because I think it would be only fitting that Mr. Hansen gets the first one. But we'll work on those things as we move forward. So, Mr. Chair, if I may, just to the bill itself, what we're doing with the bill, establishing some criteria that we've come up with working with the Department of Veterans Affairs. And then if you look at paragraph B, line 1.17, what we're doing here with the bill is we're actually directing the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs and the Commissioner of Education to jointly develop an application to be used for the purposes that we're trying to do here. And then we want them to have that on their website, develop a uniform process for this so that school districts know exactly what to do. And then after that's completed, then there will be a process for whereby Bob Detmer or other immediate family members or the surviving veteran can go through the application process, and then after they've met the criteria, get awarded their diploma. So that's what the bill is about. And, you know, time is running short for some of these veterans. Like I said, there's 7,347 veterans left from World War II, and that was as of the 25th. On the fiscal note, if you take a look at that, and about 20,000 in the Korean era and 108,000 from the Vietnam era. So, and as far as costs, I think that the fiscal note shows that about $10,000 have absorbed costs, and most of that's going to be at the local level because of staff time and so forth, and I know that they'd be more than happy to absorb those costs for the benefit of our veterans.
Well, thank you, Representative Fabian. When I saw this bill, I had two uncles that I know left school early for World War II, and so they have both since passed, but I don't know whether they got their diplomas because I can't ask them, but it's I appreciate you bringing this bill forward.
And, Mr. Chair, I
Representative Fabian.
Believe, and this has one more stop, too, but this surviving family members could do this for a deceased veteran as well.
Any other questions? All right, Chair renews the motion that House File 3204, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Education Policy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. You're on your way, Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Committee.
Our next bill up, House File 3176, Representative Pryor, established an Air Medal Special Veterans License Plate. Welcome, Representative Pryor. The Chair moves that House File 3176 be referred to the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Division. Representative Pryor, please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I am honored to be here today and return to the Veterans Committee. This was an assignment that I had in my first session, and not very many of you were there, but some of you were. Representative Beckerfin was there, and some of our research staff was also there. So nice to be back again. And it's also my honor to introduce House File 3176. And the idea for this came from my constituent, Mr. Jim O'Neill. And he was looking at other license plates for veterans and different ways of being honored. And he asked a very obvious question, which was, why is the Air Medal not one of the on license plates right now, when these other ways of being honored as a veteran have been noted, and that we do have these public ways of commemorating and paying homage to the service and to what's been accomplished. So I would like to, at this point, turn it over to my testifier, Mr. Jim O'Neill, to tell more about the story.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. O'Neill. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Jim O'Neill. I'm an Air Force veteran. I received a commission through Air Force ROTC in March of 1967 on St. Patrick's Day. And I served on active duty until March 17th, 1971. I'm also a Vietnam combat veteran, and I served in Vietnam from September 30th, 1969 until October 1st, 1970. I had two assignments while I was in Southeast Asia. The first one was at Tanzanute Air Base at Saigon, and I was on the 7th Air Force Battle Staff from October 1st to 1969 until January 30th of 1970. At that time, a position unexpectedly became open on the Air Force Airborne Battle Staff flying out of Udorn, Thailand. I volunteered for that job, and I served there from February 1st, 1970 until October 1st, 1970. I flew 57 combat missions for a total of 700 plus combat hours, and I was awarded 2 air medals. I returned to civilian life and into Minnesota in 1971, and I went to work for Xerox Corporation in sales. And there were several other veterans that went to work for Xerox at that time too, but we didn't discuss much about our time in the military or Vietnam. I also attended graduate school at Mankato State Extended Campus, which at that time was teaching at the Twin City International Airport on the air base side. And I met the commander of the 934th Tactical Airlift Group, and we got talking, and he had an open slot, so I joined the reserves. And I served in the Air Force Reserve for about 14 or 15 years. After I got out of the reserves, or while I was in it, I guess, I became aware that there were Vietnam vet plates. And I bought, I don't remember exactly when I bought my Vietnam vet plate, but it was around the end of 90s or beginning of 2000. And I included in my package that I sent, and hope everybody's got it, some stuff I pulled off of Facebook. I belong to the Air Medal Society, and I just went out to the 13,000 plus members across the world asking who received air medals if they got plates in their state. But I also included a copy that really made me happy that I bought this plate of a napkin that was placed on my windshield shortly after 9/11. And I don't know if you've got it or not, but I never met the person that put it on there, but it was the first time, excuse me, in 30 years that anybody ever thanked me for my service. And it was only because of that license plate. Veterans in the Army that had ground assignments, or even those in the Air Force that had ground assignments that were in combat, would receive a number of different kind of medals. One would be like the Bronze Star. The Air Medal is kind of equivalent to the Bronze Star for air crew members that flew combat missions. And so I feel that if you guys pass this and we can get air medal plates, that people that flew combat missions would be able to recognize each other and talk to each other more, just like my Vietnam vet plates now have other Vietnam veterans coming up to me and say, when did you serve? So it's a real good way of communicating. Plus, I think since 9/11, people are more appreciative of first responders and of the active duty military and military veterans. So I've had that experience on numerous occasions, and I guess my request to Representative Pryor, when she first got elected in 2018, was if she could see if we could get an air medal license plate. In the Facebook handouts, I got a lot of comments. There's, I only pulled off half a dozen of them, but I've highlighted in yellow some of the Minnesota residents that are interested in it, and then just a few examples of what the air medal plate looks like. So that's pretty much my story, and I don't know if anybody has any questions for me. I'd be more than happy to answer it, but hopefully it'll get passed. Thank you, Lori, for doing all your hard work and reintroducing it again. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you, members. Mr. O'Neill, and we don't thank our veterans enough for their service, so thank you for your service from on behalf of the committee. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on House File 3176? Questions from the committee? Looks like a pretty good bill, Representative Pryor. The chair renews his motion that House File 3176 be referred to the Committee on Transportation, Finance, and Policy. Do you have any final comments, Representative? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members, for allowing me to testify, to bring my constituent here to testify today. And we hope that this is going to move forward, and we hope that we continue to have your support.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Pose same sign. Motion carries. Next up, House File 3552, Representative Bonner. Motor vehicles bearing Purple Heart metal plate for fee exemptions provided. Welcome to the committee, Representative Bonner. The chair moves that House File 3552 be referred to the Transportation Finance and Policy Division. I will note that there was an author's amendment, but Representative Bonner is going to elect to have that technical fix done at the Transportation Committee. Representative Bonner, please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We are here today to discuss House File 3552. In essence, what this does is adds another class of specialty license plate to those that we already have. We currently do have classifications with the Department of Public Safety for Medal of Honor recipients, POWs, and disabled veterans. This will add the Purple Heart recipients as an additional class under this and treat them much the same as we do the other plates, as is the current practice of the Department of Public Safety. So with that, I do actually have two very distinguished testifiers here today that would like to speak a little bit about this bill.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, my name is Ryan Savinish. I'm the past state commander for the Minnesota Military Order of the Purple Heart and past chapter commander for Rochester. I'm also a full-time father of two daughters, 9 and 4. I'm a child of a Vietnam veteran who died in 2016 from Agent Orange. I'm the grandchild of a World War II veteran. I'm the great-grandchild of a World War I veteran. In 2005, I volunteered for a deployment to Iraq and was deployed for 22 months. During that time, I was wounded on March 23, 2007, while serving in the Minnesota Army National Guard. That day forever changed my life. I was blown up by a roadside bomb in Iraq. I received shrapnel to my arm and had severe blood loss that caused me to be medevaced to the nearest military base. I'm 100% service-connected by the Department of Veterans Affairs, even considered housebound by the VA. I'm service connected for my feet, my knees, dislocated hip, back injury, ringing in the ears, shrapnel scars, nerve damage from shrapnel that's still in my body, post-traumatic stress injury, and traumatic brain injury that causes me to have severe headaches every day, and I also suffer from chronic pain every day. I'm asking for the exemption for Purple Heart veteran license plates and the yearly tab fee so that we can give the same benefits other states give to their Purple Heart veterans. I believe it is the little things that we can do for our living Purple Heart veterans to make a difference in their lives and to show our gratitude for their lifelong sacrifice. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Savinish. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Peters. Welcome back to the committee, Mr. Peters. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Bonner allowing me to speak in support of passage of House File 3552, Motor Vehicles Bearing Purple Heart Plate Fee Designations. My name is Andrew Peters. I'm a U.S. 7th Army Vietnam-era veteran, serving 6 years with regular Army and Army Reserve. I continue my veteran commitment to our nation by serving in the American Legion as adjunct of Lake City Post 110 and as commander of Wabasha County. I'm also a past district commander of Legion 1. I'm also a 52-year American Legion member. I also, 2 years ago, became an honorary member of the Military Order of the Purple Heart Organization for the some of the legislation I helped them push on the Purple Heart designation. In support of the passage of this bill, I'd like to remind this committee of a complementary bill. I'll kind of walk you back in your legislative history. 2 years ago, signed by the governor on May 14, 2018, with the submission of House File 3477, and that bill passed 121-0. Senate File 3262, which passed the Senate 67-0, allowing for Purple Heart City and Purple Heart County designations and authorizations. Because of the bill, I was able to get four counties designated and about at least 8 to 10 cities with the designation. What the bill allows is cities to display designated Purple Heart signs at city limits and allows signs with Purple Heart Reserve parking designations in front of City Hall and other public facilities. In presentation before these city councils and county commissioners, I crafted and submitted for their approval of a proclamation, which I will share with you, is kind of reminding you of this important and longest-standing awarded medal. Whereas the people, and I'm using one of my posts in Wabasha County, Millville Post 579, whereas the people of the city of Millville have a great admiration and the utmost gratitude for all the men and women who have selflessly served their country and this community and the armed forces. And whereas veterans have paid the high price of freedom by leaving their families and communities and placing themselves in harm's way for the good of all. And whereas the contributions and sacrifices of men and women from Millville, Minnesota and Wabasha County who served in the armed forces have been vital in maintaining freedoms and the way of life enjoyed by our citizens. And whereas many men and women in uniform have given their lives while serving in the armed forces. And whereas many citizens of our community have earned the oldest military decoration in current use, a Purple Heart Medal, as a result of being wounded or died while engaged in combat with an enemy force construed as a singularly meritorious act of essential service. And whereas November 7, 2018 has officially designated the day in the city of Millville to remember recognized veterans who are recipients of the Purple Heart Medal. With the passage of this 2018 Purple Heart sign designation bill, this 2020 bill providing for special plates will make it easier for veterans who are recipients of the Purple Heart Medal to park in designated Purple Heart marked places and also eliminate any confusion by citizens and our law enforcement agencies and use of reserved parking designated areas by veterans. I thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of Bill 3552 and urge this committee to adopt and approve this special Purple Heart plate without fees so we can continue to honor those veterans who gave and paid an ultimate price in combat and defense of our country, our flag, and our Constitution. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Peters. Is there anybody from the audience that wishes to testify on House File 3552? Any questions from the Representative Detmer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm a co-author of this bill, and I know there's only one other license plate that does not have a fee. That's the Medal of Honor license plate. We have a total of 14 specialty plates that I can recall for military and veterans. Do you think there's going to be any pushback from some of these other license plate holders? The Medal of Honor is the top medal that a person, a gal, or a guy can earn. So I'm just wondering, I just don't know if there's going to be any pushback.
Is that Bonner or testifiers? Have you heard anything?
Thank you, Representative Detmer. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's hard to say whether there will be, certainly, but I do think that one of the things that I feel very strongly about is that I think there's very often we do not do enough to thank our military members. And I don't know about all of you, but one of the things that I find striking is I take regular visits to Fort Snelling every year to visit my grandfather's grave, and when I do, I don't know about other people, but I feel this kind of strange feeling when I look around me and see all of these individuals who put their life on the line on behalf of our democracy, on behalf of me. And I can't emphasize enough how strongly I feel that we just do not do enough. And I think while there certainly could be folks who have an exception, I think the folks that we're talking about here are literally, as you mentioned, sort of the top of the top. And I feel that I think they would, this is just one small, tiny way in which we can do more to sort of thank them for their service and their sacrifice to our country. So I certainly hope there will not be any.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a clarification on that. I probably an error, but I thought the prisoner of war plate was also an exemption. Is that not the case? When it came to exemptions on plates, I thought a prisoner of war plate was also an exemption. It is in other states, so it's not here in Minnesota. Okay. Okay, that's my misunderstanding. I just wanted to clarify that one.
Thank you, Representative Miller. Representative Botter.
So I think the question's been answered, but does that answer your question? Or?
Don't need to know, just
okay.
Clarifying.
Okay.
Any other questions from the committee? Final comments, Representative Botter.
Just a minor clarification. POWs also do qualify for a Purple Heart designation, so that may be also a little part of the confusion, just so you're aware. With that, I would say thank you to the members, of course, for allowing me to be here today. A special thank you to both of my very distinguished guests for being here to represent this. As I mentioned, we cannot thank them enough for the incredible service to our country that they've performed. So with that, members, I hope that you will support House File 352 and help it move along on its way.
That the chair renews his motion that House File 3552 be referred to the Committee on Transportation, Finance, and Policy. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. You're on your way.
Thank you.
All right, Chair Eklund, you can proceed with your testimony. Chair Eklund moves that House File 3618 be referred to the General Register. Now you may proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm here to move House File 3168 to the General Register, a bill that clarifies the Adjutant General's authority to rent the armories of the Minnesota National Guard. The version of this bill was previously moved through the process in the previous biennium and was waiting final passage on the General Register when the session ended in 2018. Here to testify on behalf of the agency for this bill is Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs.
All right, Mr. Kerr, please identify yourself for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs, and thank you, Chair Eklund, for carrying this bill in the House. As Chair Eklund mentioned, this bill is a remnant of an effort 2 years ago to clarify the authority of the Adjutant General to rent the armories of the National Guard, and it provides specific authority to order the state active service at no cost to the state, current or retired members of the National Guard to ensure safe operation and usage of the facilities during these rentals. To clarify, the authority to rent armories does exist in statute, but it resides with local armory boards. Since the armory boards are appointed by the Adjutant General, there isn't really a big problem. But when we had our lawyers do the research for the second part of the statute, they recommended this clarifying language. I should also note that the provision regarding the authority to call to active service and governing the rate of pay was passed in similar legislation in 2018, and passage of this bill will reflect the authority in the other statute as well. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Any Questions, members? All right. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on House File 3618? Seeing none, then, Mr. Chair, would you like to renew your motion that House File 3618 be referred to the General Register?
I'll remove that motion, Mr. Chair.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Trying to make it tough on re-election voting.
We're adjourned.